Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to fight the power of the devil. In fact, the first promise of the gospel was God's declaration of war against the devil. When he told the serpent that the woman's seed would crush his head. Jesus came into this world to do battle against the devil and his demons. He became flesh to destroy the power of the devil and his demons over us. And so what is going on here in our gospel reading? A woman's daughter is possessed by a demon. She is suffering terribly from his hellish control over her body. The woman's mother cries out to Jesus for her daughter's deliverance, and Jesus appears to ignore her. She confesses the true faith. She calls Jesus Lord. She addresses him as the Son of David, which is to say that he is the Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah. She begs for his mercy. She confesses the true Christian faith, calls upon Jesus for mercy, and he seemingly ignores her. On the face of it, it is simple. She is, after all, not a child of Abraham. She does not belong to the church. She is a foreigner and an outsider. She is not one of God's chosen people. And so she has no right to lay claim to the promises of God given to his chosen people. But that is not entirely so. Yes, it is true, she is a Canaanite. She is not a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It appears that she's an outsider with no rights to expect anything from Christ, who came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But Jesus did not ignore this woman. Not answering her is not the same thing as ignoring. He heard every word that she said. Jesus did not say that she was not a child of Abraham. He did not say that she was not a sheep of the house of Israel. He did not say that she did not belong to the church. If you pay close attention to what St. Matthew, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, actually writes here, you will see that Jesus never said no to her. That he doesn't ignore her. That he did not reject her. But it only appears that he did. Things are not always what they appear to be. The woman had heard the true word of God about who Jesus is and what he had been doing, how he had healed the sick, raised the dead, given life and limb back to those who had lost it. She knew who he was before she even approached him. Otherwise, she would not have called Jesus Lord, and she would not have confessed him to be the Messiah. It was God's word, the report that she had heard about who Jesus is and what he had been doing, that emboldened her to come to him and cry out to him in her great need. She came to him in faith, trusting in the word that she had heard. Now, there are two words that every parent says to the request of their children that their children are quite happy to hear. Now, these two words aren't as good as the one word yes to their request, but every child knows that these two words are much better than the one word no. And these two words are, we'll see. It doesn't mean yes, but it most certainly does not mean no. It might mean later today. It might mean someday soon. It might mean any number of things, but what it doesn't mean, especially to the child, it doesn't mean no. And this is what the Canaanite woman heard. She did not hear no. Jesus said of this woman that she had great faith. Now our Lord's disciples cried out to him to save them when the boat that they were in began to sink, and he said of them, O you of little faith. But when this woman cries out to Jesus in her need, she has great faith. And that is because the disciples based their faith on what they could feel and see. The disciples saw the threat to their lives and thought Jesus had forgotten about them. This woman heard that words that Christ spoke that could be understood as a rejection. But she refused to base her faith on what appeared to be. Instead, she realized that he never said no to her. He clung to his actual words. And since what she had heard about him at other times was contrary to what appeared to be happening at this time, she trusted that there was a reason that Christ's answers were as they were. Sometimes our Lord exercises our faith. He said to this woman, in a sense, in a way, we'll see. And because of the faith created by the word that she had heard about him, she latches on to what he says and she holds him to it. Yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. She submitted herself to the actual word of God. She was not prideful. She simply hung upon our Lord's words, heard what he actually said, and trusted that since he did not say no, he meant it. And that in his own time and in his own way, he would do what was best for her and for her daughter. This is great faith indeed. Faith is born in this kind of humility, in submission to God's holy word, and it holds on to that word. Faith is confident that God wants to deliver us from the power of the evil one, just as he has revealed to us in the scriptures. And this is what makes faith optimistic. It's what allows us to hear the we'll see, not as a no, but as a we'll see, as a maybe. Now, we are realistic about the sinfulness of humanity, that sin infects everyone from birth. We do not pretend that we aren't sinners. We confess our sins to God every day, as we do in the Lord's Prayer. We say, I have failed to love you with my whole heart. I have failed to love my neighbor as myself. We are not naive, but we are optimists. For we have seen Christ's victory over the devil. We saw him fast in the wilderness and bear up in innocence against the devil's temptations. We have seen his obedience, his suffering and death. We have heard his words from the cross, Father, forgive them, while he bore their sins. We saw Jesus crush the head of the serpent, silencing his forked tongue and rising from the dead to proclaim his gospel to us. We have heard, and by the grace of God, we have believed what we have heard. And God, for the sake of Christ's triumph over the devil, forgives us all of our sins and releases us from the devil's power. He speaks his word of forgiveness. Our sins that once distressed us and weighed us down are gone, cast into the depths of the sea, removed from us as far as the east is from the west, and he remembers them no more. And by forgiving us, he empowers us to live holy lives here in time, which means the devil cannot control us or rule over us. We are optimists. We'll see is the optimist's good answer. For God will never abandon us in our need. God will never shut his ears to our prayers. He may exercise us and our faith, and it may appear as though he is not listening. But it is not possible that he will fail to keep his word. On this, our faith rests. And this is something that we don't have to see about. It is something given to us here in time for all eternity. So in the meantime, as you wait for those will sees to come to fruition, for the good work that has begun in you to be brought to its completion, cling to God's holy word. Take, eat. This is my body, this is my blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. And it, his word, his promise, will see you through. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.